This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, my friends, halfway home. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for joining us, however you choose to consume us, whether it be on your radio, on YouTube. YouTube's been a lot of fun for people. They can see our faces, which that's not fun really for anyone, but they can see our reactions. They can see, like, if you fall asleep or something. Not that you have, but you could, Ben, right?
You can see my surprised reaction.
Yeah, oh.
You know what I was just surprised about? I looked it up. Megan Stallion.
Megan the Stallion.
It's pronounced the, not the. I thought it was pronounced the Stallion.
It's spelled
Stallion.
T-H-E-E.
But it's pronounced, according to her Wikipedia page, Megan the Stallion.
Hmm. Okay.
Didn't know that. Surprise!
Surprised, yeah.
I am surprised.
Look at that surprised face.
You should. Oh my goodness. That's pretty much my reaction.
You can follow us on YouTube. Subscribe there, please. If you're so inclined, just hit subscribe. And that way you get it into your feed. You can watch us on the television. It's been good. It's been really good for this program, for sure. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer, the creator of the YouTube scene that we have here at Ben and Woods now, and now all across the station. And into our L.A. market as well. And then, you know, a lot of competition in town using it as well. So thank you, Paulie, for being on the cutting edge there. And then Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. He joins us as well. Did you promote our next interview on television last night?
I did. Right there in prime time, 6 Woo! O'clock news.
Good.
Xander Schauffele is going to be with us at 8:35 this morning. So stay tuned for that in just over 30 minutes. Oh, you better believe I'm excited to talk to a newly minted major champion.
Yeah.
Recently crowned, to talk about just the last 36 hours, what it's been like for Xander after finally shedding the label of best player to have never won a major. Now, he won, remember, the Olympic gold medal 4 years ago.
Not the same.
It's not the same. Even though there's 16 majors for every one Olympic gold medal.
That's right.
In some ways, it's it's definitely more rare.
Yep.
And in some ways, you could argue it's more prestigious. But I think I know the mind enough of a golfer to say he'd rather have a major than an Olympic gold medal.
Correct.
Now he's got both. And pretty much cements his status among the greats of the game. He's number two in the world, and he's going to give us 10 minutes coming up here at the bottom of the hour. So looking forward to chatting with Xander Schauffele. Jesse Agler is going to be with us at 9 o'clock. They got into Cincinnati late last night after the doubleheader flight. Really long day, and no rest for the weary. Padres back at it this afternoon, 3:40. First pitch, 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show. Padres and the Cincinnati Reds from the Great American Ballpark. Going to be Joe Musgrove coming off the injured list to make the start against Andrew Abbott in game one of the series against the Reds.
Read that stat Craig just texted
you. All right, so yes, during the break, we were talking about Jackson Merrill's playing time and whether he should be there every day, even against the tough lefties. And Craig, who... I love the deep dive hour that they do on the Padres, 11 o'clock, and they get into some of the real interesting statistical nuggets. Craig's great at this, but he said one of the things they're going to talk about on the show today is that the Padres have lost their last 7 games when Jose Azokar gets more than one at-bat. So either gets a start or comes in early in the game for a defensive replacement like the day he did, took over for Jurickson Profar, and they ended up losing that one. It's just, you know, that could be somewhat of a coincidence, but that's usually when he's in instead of Jackson Merrill, oftentimes against a tough lefty. Now, Is it Jose Azokar's fault? Not really. It's the fault of Tatis and Machado and Bogarts for not mashing lefties the way they have traditionally mashed lefties. He may just be kind of the ancillary damage because he happens to be in those lineups and is also not doing anything. But I guarantee you, if Tatis was just slugging, 700 against lefties like he has done sometimes in the past, and Manny was crushing lefties and Xander was, and even Campusano, I think I saw the stat that he was going into this year, he had a WRC plus of 162 against lefties. It's like 39 this year. Even though he's having a decent year, it's not coming against the lefties. No one other than Profar, who's insane against both sides of the plate, is doing against lefties what they used to do against lefties this year. And that includes now Jose Azokar, who has been in a bunch of losing lineups lately for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I mean, we got guys in the chat. They're ripping on Higgy, and they're ripping on Azokar. These are not your problems. They're not your problems. Those guys, Higgy's going to be in there when Waldron pitches because he handles the knuckleball better than Campy. That being said, do you really feel the need to get Campusano and his 39 WRC plus against lefties? Do you need to get him in the lineup to face a lefty if he's not hitting lefties? No. I mean, he's not doing any better than Kyle Higashioka, really. And if one can, and I know balls get away from Higgy, it's a really tough pitch to catch. And if he feels comfortable or if they feel comfortable with him catching, it's not their fault. It's not Higgy's fault. It's not Azokar's fault. It's Manny and Xander and Tatis and the other guys that can hit left-handers. They're just not.
Higashioka was better as a backup with the Yankees offensively. He produced more than he's done so far with the Padres. You know, other than that one home run, he really has not been good. And we've seen Campusano's playing time go up a little bit more lately. There's been a couple of series where he hasn't even gotten one day off. He's just been behind the plate every single day. But he's going to wear out if you keep using him at that rate as well. So you have to keep, if you're Mike Schilt, you keep that in mind. Like, I can't put so much on Campusano in the first 4 months of the season and he's got nothing left in August and September. So it's a bit of a dilemma that the Padres have not gotten production from their backup catcher either.
Now, William says, are we concerned about Tatis? Don't hate me. Yes, of course. Of course. I mean, I'm concerned about the big three, all of them. And now one of the big three is potentially out for, we don't know how long, so I don't want to speculate. But now that he's out, you know, this is where Manny and Tatis need to step up. And again, especially against left-handers, man. Kevin says that Brett Sullivan, he actually said Brian Sullivan. It's Brett Sullivan. And Brett Sullivan is not the solution to hitting big league pitching either. I like Sully a lot. But I just don't know that he is immediately an upgrade defensively or offensively over Kyle Higashioka. And
we're
again,
we're nitpicking. About the backup catcher.
We're talking about a backup catcher here. Again, if the right handers that get paid a lot of money in this lineup do what they're supposed to do against lefties, we're good. Kyle Higashioka's at bat does not matter. Sugar's at bat does not matter. You know, they're good for a sack fly, they're good for a sack bunt, whatever. They don't matter. Manny, Toddy, Xander, those guys, Donovan Solano, all those guys, those guys need to come in and mash left-handed hitting. You know, they really, or left-handed pitching, they really do. And that's really what it falls down to. So Kyle Higashioka is not the reason, and Sugar is not the reason that they're, you know, 500 baseball team right now. So, let's point the blame where it belongs on the guys that make the most money.
We've spent 5 minutes talking about the backup catcher spot. That's 4.5 minutes more than it was probably worth.
Yeah, if you want to, people asking the reason, why is this team 500 when it feels like they're so much better than last year's team, which was also around 500 at this point? Why does this year's team feel like they're a better team, yet they don't have a better record? And that's it right there. Production against left-handed pitching. That was something that last year's team, with all their flaws, did incredibly well. This year's team has not done it, and it has cost them many times now against left-handed starters that they just can't get any offense going.
Yeah, and as far as Sugar goes, I mean, getting him ABs and stuff should not be a real priority. Once one game a week, okay, sure, yeah, get him a couple looks or whatever, you know, pick your spots, but making sure he gets 2-3 games a week doesn't make sense to me.
He's usually getting one. It was a doubleheader.
One to two.
It was a doubleheader yesterday. You expect to use all of your players
absolutely.
In a doubleheader.
You got to, especially when you get the win in game one. You know, that's a perfect time for him to start yesterday. Perfect. Now, here's your assignment. You get Chris Sale. Go have fun. Here's your four ABs against him. But, yeah, I'm not too worried about those guys. They're doing what they're supposed to really be doing right now. And that's for Higgy, it's catching the knuckleball, right? Catching Waldron starts, who, by the way, Matt Waldron has been fantastic lately. Kyle Higashioka deserves some credit for that, certainly, because you always got to give credit to the catcher as well. And Sugar is a defensive replacement that, you know, gets a few ABs, and he's playing good defense. I mean, you're really all you can ask of them.
And I think maybe we're downplaying how difficult the assignment that the Padres are giving Kyle Higashioka. You get to play once every 5 days, and when you go in, you are going to catch the person who is literally the hardest person to catch.
Correct.
In all of baseball. The only guy with a knuckleballer. But by the way, because he also throws, you know, fastballs and sweepers and stuff, you can't use one of those special knuckleball mitts that are really big and soft that help people. You have to use a regular mitt because otherwise it's going to destroy your hand to catch his fastball in one of those knuckleball mitts. So we're going to give you the most difficult assignment that maybe any catcher has ever gotten. It's your only chance to play. You're probably going up against a tough pitcher as well at the plate. Kyle Higashioka has been put in a really tough spot to succeed by the San Diego Padres. They know that.
Hopefully, he knows that.
He knows that. Hopefully the fans can at least understand that Kyle Higashioka is not given a chance to thrive so far here in San Diego.
No, and hey, nor really should he be. I mean, that's why you have Camposano, and Campy should get the lion's share of everything. And he needs to start mashing lefties as well, you know, period, the end. So it's a great point that you make. It's still an interesting number that Craig brought up. You know, there were, what, 7 straight games with him in the lineup getting more than one AB? Yeah, I'm not going to put it all on him, though, certainly.
So back to the record. The Padres are 25-25 through 50 games. I want you guys to put on your prognostication glasses here. If you could fast forward to the end of the season. Like, I'm looking back at last year. I learned my lesson. I don't know about you guys. I'm not pulling the, you know, it's only 50 games in. It's still got 112. Like, it's still early. We've heard it from guys like Brett Boone. We've heard other people in the game say, yeah, about a third of the way through, that's when you know who this team is. They have told you who this team is, and we fell for that trap last year. They told us who they were last year pretty early on. We chose not to believe it until, you know, late August, and it was too late. Are they a 500 team this year? Are they going to end up better? Are they going to be worse? Like, the numbers say this is who they are. But it doesn't feel like this is who they are.
No, it feels
it's a
like
very weird team.
We've had comebacks and stuff, but it does feel like they're better. It does feel like they're better. I would probably take the over 81 wins right now.
Yeah, I see what Paul's saying. I mean, you know, we got our salmon-colored shirts and rose-colored glasses on and want to think the best of the San Diego Padres. But there's also some warning signs that tell us the opposite, that they won't be that good late in the season. If they don't get production out of Manny and Tatis, at some point, Jurickson Profar is going to cool off.
Yeah.
He's not going to keep hitting the way he's hitting. And if you don't get some consistent production out of your stars, they're going to fall off a cliff at some point and go the other direction.
Like, we can't get here on August 20th and just be like, hey, you know what? Just wait for Tatis to turn it around and, you know, things will start clicking. Like, he hasn't clicked for 5 months. It's probably just a bad year for him. And I'm just using him as an example, but I learned my lesson last year. Like, if they're telling you, if a team tells you who they are after 50 or 60 games, I'm just curious, like, is this who this team is? They're just going to win 3, lose 2, win 1, lose 2.
I mean, again, the fact that they're beating good teams tells me a lot more than last year told me. A lot more. They're beating good teams. And, you know, that's when you can kind of look at the positive side of it and go, great, let's play better against crap teams. Great, let's play better at home. I don't know the recipe for that, you know, playing better at home. It doesn't make sense logically why a jam-packed Petco Park with people going ape-ass every night, you walk out there, you're like, ugh, we don't like this. You live for it.
You should play better at home, but you also probably won't play as well on the road going forward. I mean, there's a lot of counter signs for the San Diego Padres. You probably have more players that should be better than they are right now. Not just Tatis and Manny and Bogarts, but Kim as well. I mean, the numbers that they have put up in the past would indicate they have many guys who at least have the opportunity to do a lot better than they've done so far. You know, Profar is your main example of a guy who you probably expect to level off. Maybe he won't. You know, Jake's off to a good start. I think Jake is going to keep that up.
I don't see. There's no reason why both of them can't. I mean, there's really not.
Well, I mean, pro far, the 338 average is not going to hit.
I submit there's probably not a player in baseball that's going to hit 338 this year.
That's not a knock on Jerickson Profar. That's a knock on when you're that hot, everybody cools off from that level.
But I don't get the sense. I haven't looked, so I don't want to speak out of my ass. But I don't also get the sense that he's gotten incredibly lucky a lot either. He's barreling baseballs. He's giving you really good ABs.
No, he's not.
You know, and that. That can change. You know, that can stay the same. You can continue to give good ABs. The results may not be there, but he gives you a good at bat every time, just like Jackson Merrill does as well. Hence this, how this whole thing started of would just love to see him play as much as he can because he gives you a better chance to win.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. The story has been told now officially by Buster Olney on ESPN.com this morning. Josh Hader and the usage rules that were absolutely in place and tied the hands behind the back of Bob Melvin and the Milwaukee Brewers before that on how he was and was not allowed to use his closer. The story has been told. Give you some of those crazy details coming up next with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Usually Jesse Agler joins us at 8:35, but because Xander Schauffele is going to be with us in our next segment, we are going to wait until 9 o'clock to talk to Jesse. But if you want to put some suggestions for our incorporator word into the chat or to tweet us at Ben and Woods, you can do so. Jesse successfully incorporating weird vocabulary words into Tuesday night Padres baseball broadcasts. Want to keep this quick because I want to make sure we have enough time for Xander to call in at 8:35. But I saw this from Buster Olney this morning. Oh. Did you see this, Woods?
Must be why I missed it. I am blocked by Buster Olney.
Yes, he did tweet it out, so you probably missed it entirely.
Now we fill me in.
Why would he block you? You wouldn't have said anything.
I have no idea.
Buster Olney.
I'm a sweet, sweet angel.
We had heard and we've talked about the story of Josh Hader at the Milwaukee Brewers and going to arbitration. The Brewers using his, you know, minimal number of saves in his first couple of seasons against him.
After they are the ones that deployed him.
Yes, they chose how to deploy him. He was very effective, however he was deployed. But because he didn't have a certain number of saves, he ended up losing his arbitration hearing and ticked him and his agent off. And they came up with, and Buster finally has revealed, like the specific rules that they presented to Milwaukee general manager Jeff Stearns after the lost arbitration hearing. So here were the rules. Three rules. The Hader rules. He would not pitch more than 2 days in a row. He would not pitch more than three outs. He would only pitch in a save situation or when the score was tied. And that's what they presented to David Stearns. And David Stearns initially thought, you can't tell us how we can or can't use our player that we're paying. But then they realized, well, I mean, what's our recourse? Suspend him and create a giant scene with one of our best players, or just accept?
Call his bluff.
What he is, well, they didn't.
Warm him up in the eighth inning and see what is he going to do, not stand up off the...
They did not. They decided Craig Counsell and Stearns played along.
Play nice.
Played by the hater rules, and apparently when he went to the Padres, feels like the rules were still basically in place for Bob Melvin, who was handcuffed with a closer that could only be used in very specific circumstances. No more than 2 days in a row, no more than three outs at a time, and only when it's a save situation or a tie game late.
I mean, somebody said in the chat, I don't blame Josh Hader for taking this stance. I really don't either against Milwaukee. Against Milwaukee.
Yes.
It would be like you putting your new girlfriend through hell because your old girlfriend put you through hell. Does that make sense? Like, you're going to hold what your old girlfriend did to you over, which happens. It's human nature, I think, to be like, no, I've been hurt before. Mm-hmm. I get that.
It's a defense mechanism.
It's a defense mechanism. But you came here, you had opportunities, again, to really, really excel. I mean, they were a good team when he got here, and they, you know, ended up going on a run and everything else, and he probably got the three biggest outs in Padres history, recent history, that we've ever seen, you know, in the last 25 years, right? So
lucky he hadn't pitched the previous 2 days, apparently.
Luckily, the game was not tied, right? So I know, I fully understand that.
Last year's what killed it.
But I think last year, man, when you came this close after, a run, a pressureless run at the end, you look back to some of the hater rules and you go, son of a gun, man. I feel like there's a handful of games there that you refused to pitch in that we absolutely could have used you. And that sucks. And look,
we talked about it yesterday. Suarez pitching in the eighth on Friday.
Yeah,
great move by Schilt.
Instead of saying...
And Estrada getting the close. You hear Schilt after the game?
Yes. Yeah, we got a commander man, Suarez. What a good teammate. You know, not everybody would say, yeah, I'll take the eighth when you know you're the closer.
And but that's what it's about.
Went out and grabbed the eighth.
That would have been against the rules. That was not a save situation there in the eighth inning.
Yep. And then
it wouldn't have been more than three outs.
And, so, you know, the comments, too, were just horrific. You guys expect me to do everything. And it's like, no, not really. Not everything. We just really expect you to get out when called upon. And I do understand wanting to protect your arm and protect your future. And that's fine. I guess he's entitled to that. But, you know, he's going to have that reputation now for the rest of his life. And
well, he's got his deal with the Astros.
Yeah,
apparently the rules have been lifted now that he's got his contract.
He's been really good lately.
Had more than a three-out save his last appearance, I think, for the Houston Astros.
Yeah, he's been really good.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Xander Schauffele, fresh off his PGA Championship victory, will join Ben Woods next on 97.3 The Fan. Let's get right to it, Woods. I was glued to my television on Sunday, and I was nervous for our next guest.
Me too,
he didn't look nervous, but I certainly was. Having to get up and down on 17 for a par, and then on 18 for the birdie to secure his first major championship. We are joined right now by PGA champion Xander Schauffele here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Xander, congratulations from all of us. That was fantastic stuff on Sunday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I mean, the emotions of finally, obviously, getting so close so many times and getting over the hump. I was talking to Woods earlier. You have the Olympic gold medal. I mean, there's 16 majors for every one Olympic gold medal. So in some ways, that's even more special. But for you, for a professional golfer, can you compare actually winning a major to the gold medal title?
I mean, what a tough comparison that is. They mean... equally a ton to me. Different though, you know, the Olympic gold medal felt like it was something that it's like the coolest thing I could possibly deliver for my dad, who's obviously been my mentor and someone I'm really close with. And then the major is the same in that sense, but something that, you know, growing up, I mean, the Olympics wasn't really a sport in golf, or golf wasn't a sport in the Olympics. So growing up, I mean, you saw Tiger, you know, hoisting all these trophies, Jack hoisting all these trophies, they're all major championship trophies. So as a kid, when I was really little, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I dreamt of.
Talking to Xander Schauffele here on Ben and Woods this morning, you mentioned your dad. That's exactly where I was going to go. I'm a father of two young boys, both love sports. My oldest one is such a competitive person. I find myself lying in bed at night going, all right, was I too hard on him? am I too easy on him? It's the needle that you have to thread, not expecting anybody to become a professional athlete. But when you talk about your dad, I know you guys are close. I broke down in tears when you were talking about your dad breaking down in tears. How, when you look back, when you were a kid, how hard did he push you, and did he pick his spots on when to push you?
Yeah, it's a great question. He was, I think that more than anything else, he was really fair. He ingrained his sort of, from a young age, I mean, he really made it, like, he would always ask so many leading questions, and, you know, we'd have conversations, and so many conversations, and we'd talk through so many different things, and he'd give me advice, whether it was easy or tough, and then, you know, whenever, as a kid, it's so easy to have a really important conversation, feel good, and then, you know, a couple of days go by, and then, you know, you do something stupid again, so he was quickly to remind me of something that I would promise him or a promise that I made to myself. And so there was a certain amount of accountability that he sort of ingrained into my brain. And so, you know, those days where I wasn't practicing, he didn't have to sit there and hound me about not practicing. He would just kind of look at me and ask me, did you practice today? And it was like enough to make me feel this like overwhelming sense of like, I just let myself down. I let him down. I pretty much said I was going to do something. I didn't do it. So as a kid, you know, that's kind of the stuff that I remember. And it's such a fine line, obviously, of writing that, and he did a really good job, and you know, I'm really appreciative of him sort of instilling that in me.
And so, as you've played this brilliant career, Xander, in the PGA, but haven't been able to get over the hump until now, major wise. How much did you and he talk about that? You know, you're a very established golfer. You made a lot of money. You won tournaments, et cetera, et cetera. Getting over that hump, how instrumental was he in helping you even now?
Yeah, it felt like nothing really changed. Obviously, this is very helpful for my career and everything that I've done, but nothing's really changed in terms of the advice he was giving me along the way. He was the same things were said, you know, the same
his stick. German oh yeah,
stuff. Right. Yeah. You know, it never the cadence of it never really increased. You know, we would return to some things that he used to say, but it was never like in a dramatic fashion or anything. You know, he texted me one of his favorites. You know, steady Kip drives the stone. He texted that to me on Saturday, and you know, every time I lost. For like the last 2 years, I've had a lot of close calls. You know, we would discuss sort of what happened, but whether I beat myself, I let myself get beat, or someone beat me. You know, there's different ways to lose and win. And yeah, I mean, like I feel like we just stayed the course. You know, he felt like we were on a good plan, and we just believed it, and here we are.
You know, in sports, you want to beat your opponents, but in golf, I want to beat my friends. I think that's more fun in golf. You want to beat your friends. Any trash talk, you get your first major before your buddy Patrick Cantlay, your Ryder Cup teammate, any trash talk going back and forth now that you have one?
No, it's all love there. You know, I'm sure he's more motivated now than ever to go and get himself one, and he's in the same boat. We all know he's going to win one. It's just a matter of when. So, you know, we're always rooting for each other. And obviously when we're out on the grass, it's straight competition. But it's all love.
Talking to Xander Schauffele, PGA champion. And, you know, the one thing that every major winner wants more than anything else.
Another one.
A second major. Maybe one of the other ones. Maybe the U.S. Open next month. And I wanted to ask you, I don't know, it's at Pinehurst number 2. They haven't had it since 2014. So do you have much experience there? I got to play there last year. I think your putting, the distance putting is going to really come in useful there on those big humpbacked Donald Ross greens. What do you think about the next venue and your chances in the U.S. Open next month?
Yeah, I mean, you have more experience than I have as Pinehurst. I've never been.
All right, we'll go through
there.
Notes. Call,
oh, please
call
don't
later.
Ask him, Xander.
We'll go hole by hole. I'm really good. Xander, I've got a good memory for it.
He is going to wear you out. I'm so sorry. Tell him.
You're my favorite already now for the U.S. Open next month. You're going to dominate. You're going to dominate with the shot making and the putting that you've got. That course is going to be perfect for you.
Xander, I'm telling you right now, we're watching on Sunday. Both my kids are with me. My wife, we're all there and we're watching. And you hit the chip, which just, I was laughing going, I would have blade, you know, sculled this thing way over the hole. And
I would have chili dipped it.
You stick it to 6-8 feet, and I, did you feel the entire city of San Diego and the pressure of San Diego, just being San Diego and San Diego sports? Did you feel any of that? I mean, I know in the moment you're worried about making a putt, but you really like lifted a city with that putt. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's what everyone was saying. Oh, here we go again. Second place, San Diego. And to be able to win it, man, it was so special.
So special. Hey, I've been a Chargers fan growing up my whole life, so I know what you're referring to. In the moment, I wasn't thinking of anything but myself, and I was so nervous. You know, my hands were, they're a little shaky, you know, I felt good. You know, I felt good over the putt. I knew it was a high percentage putt for me to make, and looking through film, you know, it looked like I didn't rush through it, but I really didn't want to take too much more time on it because I was seeing a few different things, and I really wanted to be just concise and give it like a full commitment. And so the more I would wait, I felt like I was just not going to commit to it. So, you know, the end result of me and, you know, everyone that in San Diego, I've gotten so many texts and so many people reaching out, which has been so awesome. I have so many texts to respond to still. And I feel a lot of love coming my way. And I'm definitely looking forward to, I got 2 weeks here in Florida and then I have 3 weeks on the road and then I'll be back in San Diego for a couple weeks. So I'm definitely really excited to bring this Wanamaker Trophy back to my hometown to celebrate with some people there.
Well, Xander, we really appreciate it. I know we always put ourselves in your shoes, like when you're trying to make a 6-foot putt, and there's no real comparison. The only similarity is we're all Callaway golfers.
Yes, our Team Callaway.
Our Bennett Woods Open Chrome Tour sponsored coming up next month at Goat Hill Park, which you've been a huge supporter of Goat Hill Park as well, which we appreciate here in San Diego, everything you've done. But so excited for you. Glad you got that major. Now it's time to get the next one and the next one, and we'll be rooting for you when you tee it up next month at Pinehurst in the U.S. Open. Xander, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks. I'll hit you up for some notes, all right?
Oh, God.
Please
oh,
do.
No. Oh,
please
boy.
Do. Make sure you get
God.
It all the way to the hole on 13. You do not want that ball rolling back down the hill. I made an 8. It was not
God.
Good. It destroyed my round. I was playing pretty well. I was like 6 over and then made an 8 there on
what
13.
Have you done?
It's
what
awful.
Have yeah. you done, Xander? It's awful. What have you done? Appreciate it,
Take
man.
Take care, Xander.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Xander Schauffele. PGA Championship winner, and we will go over our notes for Pinehurst number 2 coming up shortly.
So here's what you do. He grew up playing with Steve Sugimoto's older brother. Steve Sugimoto was our NIL-sponsored athlete at San Diego State, and he's now a professional golfer in Japan, going through some hand injury, can't play, he's losing his mind. I was tweeting with him the other day to keep his head up, you know, just blip on the radar. Send your notes to Steve, who can get them to Xander. I'm not kidding. Why not?
I'll throw him down there. I've got some thoughts for sure on the course.
No doubt.
We didn't offer him the $100 we offered to Steve to put his our logo on his bag, maybe next to his Callaway, get Bennett a Bennett Woods logo on the bag going.
Sick. Probably going to need more than a hundo, I would guess.
Maybe we sponsor his caddy, Austin.
Fine by me. But no, what a great dude. I love the insight there, too. It's really good.
It's good stuff about his dad, too.
I need more dad shtick.
Good questions there, Woods, on how he motivated the old... No, I'm not disappointed. I mean, maybe you're disappointed in yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you said you were going to practice. So. But not wearing him out about it, too, is interesting, Hannah. It's really, really helpful stuff, I think, for a lot of dads out there. That was great.
If you want to support the same causes that Xander Schauffele supports, North County Junior Golf Association, the Caddy Academy at Goat Hill Park, you can do so by signing up for the Callaway Chrome Tour Bennett Woods Open coming up on June 19th. Paulie's got all the information on our social channels and our feed. You can sign up. It's 2 shotguns. We got a morning wave, an afternoon wave, food, drinks, prizes, fun and games, and hang out with the Tier 1 community. It's the 3rd annual-ish Chrome Tour Bennett Woods Open coming up June 19th at Goat Hill Park, where Xander does every year the Wishbone Brawl to raise money. He's played every single one of them. Comes back to his hometown. Really good supporting San Diego and some of the causes in San Diego. Even if he can't give up the Chargers, fine, whatever.
I remember going out there to the Wishbone and seeing the gold medal. I mean, he had it. He brought it out. It was,
I think I held it, actually.
Yeah. It was pretty incredible. He's such a great dude. And, yeah, man, I mean, I felt that. I know a lot of people, I can grow up here, but I know, and I've been here long enough to know that, oh, God, second place after lipping out an eight-footer that you can make, no problem.
I mean, that could have easily.
It almost tried to get out.
Yeah.
It tried to get out.
It's a 50-50 proposition when it hits the edge of the hole like that. And, you know, he said, I didn't want to have to go to a playoff against Bryson because he said, I think we would have gone back to 18. Technically, it was a three-hole playoff. It would have been 13. 17, and 18. That little Island Green par four, and then they come back around 17 and 18. But he would have had to go up against Bryson, his huge length on the par five.
And he said,
I wanted to win it right there and not have to go to that playoff 100%. Against Bryson DeChambeau. Of course, you never want
to. Bryson was feeling it, too. I mean, Bryson had a round of his life.
He was getting ready for the playoff.
Loved him coming over, too, after. And I tweeted this the other day. Is Bryson more likable now than he used to be? I think the answer is unequivocally yes.
You know why?
Why?
Less Bryson.
Less Bryson.
The less you see him, the more you like him.
That's true. That's a really good point. He was massively likable in that tournament.
Yes, he was.
He really was.
He had the crowd behind him, too.
And then him walking up to Xander after Xander's off the green and giving him a hug was pretty cool.
Not to get into the weeds, but golf would be better with more Bryson, though. More Brooks, more Bryson, more of them all together.
Well, those majors show you what we're missing.
Yeah.
This should be happening
15 times a year, not four times a year that we get to see these guys playing together. I won't get into the Live PGA Tour weeds. We got to check traffic. We will continue, though. Don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up here on 97.3 The Fan.
So it's funny to me that Xander said that you have more experience at that course than he does.
Well, they haven't played the U.S. Open since 2014. He wasn't in that one, so it's not like a regular spot on the PGA Tour. It's not near anywhere where you'd just like, oh, I'm happy to be in Pinehurst, North Carolina today. I guess I'll tee it up on number two. So.
Wouldn't that be a trip that a golfer would make?
Well, I think the reason he's probably in Florida, he's probably going to hit it a couple of times here and get some prep going for the U.S. Open so he gets to see the course beforehand. But, yeah, I mean, it's a place a lot of the guys will be playing for the first time since it's been a decade since they've hosted a U.S. Open there.
So when you go into a golf course like that cold, I bet you some notes would help him. Really?
I think it would. I mean, his caddy will go through every inch of the place and have notes on everything before they tee it up. But it's always easier to play a course. You've played a few times before.
You've done it for me at Goat Hill.
Just get the sense for, you know, where things might bounce, where it's safe to play, where it's not safe to play. I do think he'll do well, though. Those greens, you have to be precise. If you putt it a couple of feet short, it could roll back down a hill. A couple of feet long, it can roll over a hill. His control. I mean, you saw those long putts. He had a 50-foot putt. He hit it 51 feet.
Yeah.
He was on top of things during the PGA Championship there. The one thing I didn't get to ask him, if we had more time, how crazy that Friday was with Scottie Scheffler going to jail and just everything surrounding the story of that PGA Championship. It seems like Scottie is going to get the charges maybe dropped. They already pushed back his arraignment until June 3rd.
Why did they do that? Just drop the charges.
There's no body camera footage at this point. At this point now, it's just like they're trying to save face a little bit.
That's ridiculous, dude.
But now it's a PR story more than anything else.
I'd be
very surprised if Scotty actually faced. Let's get right to it, Woods. I was glued to my television on Sunday. And I was nervous for our next guest.
Me too,
he didn't look nervous, but I certainly was. Having to get up and down on 17 for a par and then on 18 for the birdie to secure his first major championship. We are joined right now by PGA champion Xander Schauffele here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Xander, congratulations from all of us. That was fantastic stuff on Sunday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I mean, the emotions of finally, obviously, getting so close so many times and getting over the hump. I was talking to Woods earlier. You have the Olympic gold medal. I mean, there's 16 majors for every one Olympic gold medal. So in some ways, that's even more special. But for you, for a professional golfer, can you compare actually winning a major to the gold medal title?
I mean, what a tough comparison that is. They mean equally a ton to me. Different, though, you know, the Olympic gold medal felt like it was something that it's like the coolest thing I could possibly deliver for my dad, who's obviously been my mentor and someone I'm really close with. And then the major is the same in that sense, but something that, you know, growing up, I mean, the Olympics wasn't really a sport or golf wasn't a sport in the Olympics. So growing up, I mean, you saw Tiger, you know, hoisting all these trophies, Jack hoisting all these trophies. They're all major championship trophies. So as a kid, when I was really little, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I dreamt of.
Talking to Xander Schauffele here on Ben and Woods this morning. You mentioned your dad. That's exactly where I was going to go. I'm a father of two young boys. Both love sports. My oldest one is such a competitive person. I find myself lying in bed at night going, all right, was I too hard on him? Am I too easy on him? It's the needle that you have to thread, not expecting anybody to become a professional athlete. But when you talk about your dad, I know you guys are close. I broke down in tears when you were talking about your dad breaking down in tears. When you look back, when you were a kid, how hard did he push you, and did he pick his spots on when to push you?
Yeah, it's a great question. He was, I think that more than anything else, he was really fair. He ingrained his sort of from a young age. I mean, he really made it like he would always ask so many leading questions, and you know, we'd have conversations and so many conversations, and we'd talk through so many different things, and when he'd give me advice, whether it was easy or tough. And then, you know, whenever, as a kid, it's so easy to have a really important conversation, feel good. And then, you know, a couple of days go by and then, you know, you do something stupid again. So he was quickly to remind me of something that I would promise him or a promise that I made to myself. And so there was a certain amount of accountability that he sort of ingrained into my brain. And so, you know, those days where I wasn't practicing, he didn't have to sit there and hound me about not practicing. He would just kind of look at me and ask me, did you practice today? And it was like enough to make me feel this like overwhelming sense of like, I just let myself down. I let him down. I pretty much said I was going to do something. I didn't do it. So as a kid, you know, that's kind of the stuff that I remember. And it's such a fine line, obviously, of writing that you know, he did a really good job, and, you know, I'm really appreciative of him sort of instilling that in me.
And so as you've played this brilliant career, Xander, in the PGA, but haven't been able to get over the hump until now major-wise, how much did you and he talk about that? You know, you're a very established golfer. You made a lot of money. You know, you won tournaments, et cetera, et cetera. Getting over that hump, how instrumental was he in helping you even now?
Yeah, it felt like nothing really changed. Obviously, this is very helpful for my career and everything that I've done, but nothing's really changed in terms of the advice he was giving me along the way. He was the same sayings were said, you know, the same
his stick. German oh yeah,
stuff. Right. Yeah, you know, it never the cadence of it never really increased. You know, we would return to some things that he used to say, but it was never like in a dramatic fashion or anything. You know, he texted me one of his favorites, you know, steady Kip drives the stone. He texted that to me on Saturday. And, you know, every time I lost for like the last 2 years, I've had a lot of close calls, you know, we would discuss sort of what happened, but whether I beat myself, I let myself get beat or someone beat me, you know, there's different ways to lose and win. And, I mean, like, I feel like we just stayed the course, you know, he felt like we were on a good plan and we just believed it, and here we are.
You know, in sports, you want to beat your opponents, but in golf, I want to beat my friends. I think that's more fun in golf.
Absolutely.
You want to beat your friends. Any trash talk, you get your first major before your buddy Patrick Cantlay, your Ryder Cup teammate. Any trash talk going back and forth now that you have one?
No, it's all love. It's all love there. You know, I'm sure he's more motivated now than ever to go and get himself one. And he's in, you know, he's in the same boat. We all know he's going to win one. It's just a matter of when. So, you know, we're always rooting for each other. And, obviously when we're out on the grass, it's straight competition, but, it's all love.
Talking to Xander Schauffele, PGA champion. And, you know, the one thing that every major winner wants more than anything else,
a second
major, maybe one of the other ones, maybe the U.S. Open next month. And I wanted to ask you, I don't know, it's at Pinehurst number 2. They haven't had it since 2014. So do you have much experience there? I got to play there last year. I think your lag, your putting, the distance putting is going to really come in useful there on those big humpbacked Donald Ross greens. What do you think about the next venue and your chances in the U.S. Open next month?
Yeah, I mean, you have more experience than I have as timers. I've never been.
All right, we'll go through
there.
Notes. Call,
oh, please
call
don't
later.
Ask him, Xander.
We'll go hole by hole. I'm really good.
Xander,
I've got a good memory for it.
He is going to wear you out. I'm so sorry. Tell him.
I think you're my favorite already now for the U.S. Open next month. You're going to dominate. You're going to dominate with the shot making and the putting that you've got. That course is going to be perfect for you.
Xander, I'm telling you right now, we're watching on Sunday. Both my kids are with me. My wife, we're all there and we're watching. And you hit the chip, which just, I was laughing going, I would have blade, you know, sculled this thing way over the hole. And
I would
you
chili dipped it.
You stick it to 6-8 feet and I, did you feel the entire city of San Diego and the pressure of San Diego, just being San Diego and San Diego sports? Did you feel any of that? I mean, I know in the moment you're worried about making a putt, but you really like lifted a city with that putt. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's what everyone was saying. Oh, here we go again. Second place, San Diego. And to be able to win it, man, it was so special.
So special. Hey, I've been a Chargers fan growing up my whole life, so I know what you're referring to. But in the moment, I wasn't thinking of anything but myself, and I was so nervous. You know, my hands were a little shaky. You know, I felt good. You know, I felt good over the putt. I knew it was a high percentage putt for me to make, and looking through film, you know, it looked like. I didn't rush through it, but I really didn't want to take too much more time on it because I was seeing a few different things, and I really wanted to be just concise and give it like a full commitment. And so the more I would wait, I felt like I was just not going to commit to it. So, you know, the end result of me and you know, everyone that in San Diego, I've gotten so many texts and so many people reaching out, which has been so awesome. I have so many texts to respond to still, and I feel a lot of love coming my way, and I'm definitely looking forward to. I got 2 weeks here in Florida, and then I have 3 weeks on the road, and then I'll be back in San Diego for a couple weeks. So I'm definitely really excited to bring this Wanamaker Trophy back to my hometown to celebrate with some people there.
Well, Xander, we really appreciate it. I know we always put ourselves in your shoes, like when you're trying to make a 6-foot putt, and there's no real comparison. The only similarity is we're all Callaway golfers.
Yes, our Team Callaway.
Our Bennett Woods Open Chrome Tour sponsored coming up next month at Goat Hill Park, which you've been a huge supporter of Goat Hill Park as well, which we appreciate here in San Diego, everything you've done. But so excited for you. Glad you got that major. Now it's time to get the next one and the next one, and we'll be rooting for you when you tee it up next month at Pinehurst in the U.S. Open. And Xander, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks. I'll hit you up for some notes, all right?
Oh, God.
Please
oh,
do.
No. Oh,
please
boy.
Do. Make sure
oh,
you get God. It all the way to the hole on 13. You do not want that ball rolling back down the hill. I made an 8. It was not good. It destroyed my round. I was playing pretty well. I was like 6 over and then made an 8 there on
what
13.
Have you done? It's awful. What have you done, Xander? It's awful. What have you done? Appreciate it,
Take
man.
Take care, Xander.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Xander Schauffele. PGA Championship winner, and we will go over our notes for Pinehurst number 2 coming up shortly.
So here's what you do. He grew up playing with Steve Sugimoto's older brother. Steve Sugimoto was our NIL-sponsored athlete at San Diego State, and he's now a professional golfer in Japan, going through some hand injury. He can't play. He's losing his mind. I was tweeting with him the other day to keep his head up, you know, just a blip on the radar. Send your notes to Steve, who can get them to Xander. I'm not kidding. Why not?
I'll throw him down there. I've got some thoughts for sure on the course.
No doubt.
We didn't offer him the $100 we offered to Steve to put his our logo on his bag, maybe next to his Callaway, get Ben and Woods logo on the bag going.
Probably going to need more than a hundo, I would guess.
Maybe we sponsor his caddy, Austin.
Fine by me. But no, what a great dude. I love the insight there, too. It's really good.
It's good stuff about his dad, too.
I need more dad
shtick. Good questions there, Woods, on how he motivated the old... No, I'm not disappointed. I mean, maybe you're disappointed in yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you said you were going to practice. So. But not wearing him out about it, too, is interesting, Hannah. It's really, really helpful stuff, I think, for a lot of dads out there. That was great.
If you want to support the same causes that Xander Schauffele supports, North County Junior Golf Association, the Caddy Academy at Goat Hill Park, you can do so by signing up for the Callaway Chrome Tour Ben and Woods Open coming up on June 19th. Paulie's got all the information on our social channels and our feed. You can sign up. It's two shotguns. We got a morning one. wave, an afternoon wave, food, drinks, prizes, fun and games, and hang out with the Tier 1 community. It's the third annual-ish Chrome Tour Benton Woods Open coming up June 19th at Goat Hill Park, where Xander does every year the Wishbone Brawl to raise money. Comes, he's played every single one of them, comes back to his hometown, really good supporting San Diego and some of the causes in San Diego. Even if he can't give up the Chargers, fine, whatever.
I remember going out there to the Wishbone and seeing the gold medal. I mean, he had it. He brought it out. It was,
I think I held it, actually.
Yeah. It was pretty incredible. He's such a great dude. And, yeah, man, I mean, I felt that. I know a lot of people, I can grow up here, but I know, and I've been here long enough to know that, oh, God, second place after lipping out an eight-footer that you can make, no problem.
I mean, that could have easily.
It almost tried to get out.
Yeah.
It tried to get out.
It's a 50-50 proposition when it hits the edge of the hole like that. And, you know, he said, I didn't want to have to go to a playoff against Bryson, because he said, I think we would have gone back to 18. Technically, it was a three-hole playoff. It would have been 17, and 18. That little island green par four, and then they come back around 17 and 18. But he would have had to go up against Bryson, his huge length on the par five.
And
said, I wanted to win it right there and not have to go to that playoff
100%.
Against Bryson DeChambeau. Of course, you never want.
Bryson was feeling it too. I mean, Bryson had a
he
round
was warming
of his
up.
Life.
He was getting ready for the playoff.
Loved him coming over too after. And I tweeted this the other day. Is Bryson more likable now than he used to be? I think the answer is unequivocally yes.
You know why?
Why?
Less Bryson. The less you see him,
that's
the
true.
More you like him.
That's true. That's a really good point. He was massively likable in that tournament.
Yes, he was.
He really was.
He had the crowd behind him, too.
And then him walking up to Xander after Xander's off the green and giving him a hug was pretty cool.
Not to get into the weeds, but golf would be better with more Bryson, though. More Brooks, more Bryson, more of them all together.
Well, those majors show you what we're missing.
Yeah.
They show you what we're missing.
This should be happening 15 times a year, not 4 times a year that we get to see these guys playing together. I won't get into the Live PGA Tour weeds. We got to check traffic. We will continue, though. Don't go anywhere. More Benton Woods coming up here on 97.3 The Fan.
So it's funny to me that Xander said that you have more experience at that course than he does.
Well, they haven't played the U.S. Open since 2014. He wasn't in that one, so it's not like a regular spot on the PGA Tour. It's not near anywhere where you'd just like, oh, I'm happy to be in Pinehurst, North Carolina today. I guess I'll tee it up on number two. So.
Wouldn't that be a trip that a golfer would make?
Well, I think the reason he's probably in Florida, he's probably going to hit it a couple of times here and get some prep going for the U.S. Open so he gets to see the course beforehand. But, yeah, I mean, it's a place a lot of the guys will be playing for the first time since it's been a decade since they've hosted a U.S. Open there.
So when you go into a golf course like that cold, I bet you some notes would help him. Really?
I think it would. I mean, his caddy will go through every inch of the place and have notes on everything before they tee it up. But it's always easier to play a course. You've played a few times before.
You've done it for me at Goat Hill.
Just get the sense for, you know, where things might bounce, where it's safe to play, where it's not safe to play. I do think he'll do well, though. Those greens, you have to be precise. If you putt it a couple of feet short, it could roll back down a hill. A couple of feet long, it can roll over a hill. His control. I mean, you saw those long putts. He have a 50-foot putt. He hit it 51 feet.
Yeah,
he was on top of things during the PGA Championship there. The one thing I didn't get to ask him, if we had more time, how crazy that Friday was with Scottie Scheffler going to jail and just everything surrounding the story of that PGA Championship. It seems like Scottie is going to get the charges maybe dropped. They already pushed back his arraignment until June 3rd.
Why did they do that? Just drop the charges.
There's no body camera footage at this point. At this point now, it's just like they're trying to save face a little bit.
That's ridiculous, dude.
But now it's a PR story more than anything else. I'd be very surprised if Scotty actually faces any charges here and going the wrong way from a traffic direction, from a cop, essentially.
No, by the way, the five previous PGA players in front of him were all directed to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Give me a break, dude. There's no body cam footage. There's no, the guy didn't get it. He tore his $80 pants. Here's $80. Drop this case and let's move on with our lives.
Buy pants for the entire police department
100%.
If he wants to. He's got plenty of money to do that.
And he would do it too. It's just absurd, man.
It sounds like it was just a
So they did a continuance of this?
They pushed back the arraignment.
Oh my God!
To give everybody a little more time.
Oh, gotta gather evidence. How ripped are your pants? How ripped are they? Let me see that abrasion on your knee. I mean, give me a break at this point. Come on.
Sounds like the cop did something dumb in trying to stop him.
Yeah, getting and again, Zach said second-degree assault of an officer is crazy. That's a crazy charge. That's a crazy, crazy charge. For a guy that jumped on your car, not in uniform, essentially.
Well, especially if you have another cop who's told you to do the opposite thing. So basically, if you have
correct.
Two police officers who
you
tell
do this,
you to do opposite
do
things, you're going to break the law by disobeying one of the two
correct.
Automatically. You can't
give me a break.
You can't help it there at
it's
that
absurd.
Point.
It's absurd. I mean, it's absolutely absurd at this point. And to push it back, he should have been in there Tuesday morning, today, and they just said, all charges are dropped.
Now, I think he finished 8 shots behind Xander. So he would have had to have shot a 65 on the one day on Saturday that
yep.
he did not play well. I still think Xander, I mean, it's an all-time record. 21 under that Xander shot is the best ever in a major. There's no asterisk because of Scottie Scheffler getting thrown in jail or anything on this tournament.
Hey,
it was
Scottie Scheffler
as legit as
listen,
it gets.
Bro, Scottie Scheffler went to jail, came out, played a great
66,
round.
66, yeah.
Okay, so he had to do a news conference after. It's not like he had to go back to jail and spend the night in jail. Nothing changed. He had his full routine in the morning. There's no asterisk at all.
I can understand that maybe he was a little more exhausted, mentally fatigued from everything. I get that, but Xander 100% earned that with a spectacular week of play at Valhalla. And hopefully this, like when Phil Mickelson finally won the Masters and broke the seal, then he started winning a bunch of majors. I could see that happening for Xander as well. Number two in the world, he's certainly going to be in contention every time he tees it up in these majors. And now that he's got one, just takes a little bit of the pressure off a little bit. Just makes you feel, I think, probably a little more free and easy when you're out there.
Texted with our buddy Travis yesterday. He goes, I like him in the they don't call it the British anymore.
The Open.
His game is really suited for anywhere. It's so nice to see him break through, man. That was such a huge putt. Oh, my God.
That was a fun interview.
That was awesome.
Thank you again to Xander Schauffele, PGA Tour, for helping make that happen. We'll come back. Next fun interview is Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres. He will join us to kick off the 9 a.m. hour of Bennett Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.